Hello and welcome to the Cornerstone Entry Point Podcast. I am your host, Nick Oliveri, and I am joined by a very special guest today. We have the CTO and president of Tradewinds Networks here, Keith Alexis. Keith, how are you today? Thank you so much for joining.
I'm doing well, Nick, and I really appreciate being here on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and we have some awesome topics today. So Cornerstone has been invested through, you know, time, expertise, and also money in terms of cybersecurity of all sorts, securing, you know, your computing environment. But that word, even cybersecurity, has changed so much over just, I mean, nonetheless, the past 1 or 5 years, but like really the past in the 21st century, that term has taken on so many new meaning. So could you speak a little bit to that, and also maybe what you do at Tradewinds Networks and how it operates over there?
Absolutely. I think one of the things is it to your point is that's the constant change, right? Change is always a constant, and in working with Cornerstone, we've seen that evolution in the industry, and it's really helped us even as we communicate directly with our customers, our channel partners, and learn a lot from them. You know, more often than not, we tell our partners that, you know, the most expensive thing you'll spend with us is your time to help us be as close to what's going on, right? Have our ears to the ground on how not only are changes in the industry, particularly in the cybersecurity field, but also changes in just technology and technology stacks and how it's impacting our partners as well. When you look at Tradewinds, and my personal background is really comes from the OEM manufacturing world for the past 3 decades, we've been very fortunate to be in a position where we understand and at least try to attempt to understand the cyber world from all facets of technology, from the OSI model, from the data communication, connectivity, as well as obviously in the cybersecurity realm where you're talking about everything from frameworks, SIEMs, cloud, non-cloud and ecosystems as well. TNI in particular sort of straddles many of these different environments, merely because of the market segments that we play in, which seem to be different, but really, from a foundation standpoint, are still connected. So we focus on, obviously, our prime product line, GuardTower, on the proactive cybersecurity side of things. We also have a division that focuses on smart city networks and edge communication, edge applications and IoT. And then we have, interestingly enough, a very unique battery energy storage solution that takes legacy technologies such as lead acid and creates a next generation solution around making those solutions last 15 years, having the same performance profile as lithium, and then deploying up to 1.5 megawatt containers for a 100% clean ecosystem, which of course has to be connected back and of course has to also be protected from a cybersecurity perspective as well. So it's the evolution is not only within market segments, but across market segments, whether or not you're talking about utilities on one side, traditional enterprise, and also other segments that may lead into retail and MSSP kinds of ecosystems.
So that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, that sounds, I mean, almost like circular, or I maybe even like a verticalized supply chain you have going on there at TNI. It's pretty fantastic. I never knew that you could even do that with lead acid and you know, promulgate that to that performance. So that's pretty amazing. I did notice one term that you put in there was proactive cybersecurity, right? Because, you know, you mentioned all the, you know, you're an IoT, right? And you, all these endpoints, and, you know, it's, you're doing so much. And nowadays, disseminated teams across the globe, not just the nation or the continent, across the globe, they all have their own endpoints. They all have their own ecosystems, mini ecosystems as individuals. as part of organizations, and they all need to be secured, as you just said. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. And so you mentioned proactive cybersecurity. So for folks listening, they're experts and they know maybe exactly what you're talking about or a form of it, or just have kind of no idea, what is proactive cybersecurity from a T&I perspective, guard tower perspective, and also just in general?
Sure, absolutely. And I think you bring up a really interesting point that often gets overlooked. And it's really something that over the last couple of years has caught the eye of a couple of larger marketing organizations, market research organizations like Gartner, and even some testing that's been done by the great organization called NIST as well. One of the things that we have learned, because we're always learning, right? We don't sort of stand on the hill and think that, you know, we've got the latest and greatest, where there's always an iterative kind of process where we're learning from partners like Cornerstone and others, is the need to sort of look at cybersecurity maybe with a little different tint. One of the things we've got, so there are some phenomenal product categories out there. Whether or not you're looking at it from a SIEM, a cloud, or a secure gateway ecosystem, or, you know, next generation firewalls, right? But one of the things that we've looked at in working with some of our partners, both overseas and here, is how do we stop this flood, or at least slow down the flood, right? We may not be able to be 100% covered or stop every and any attack, sure, especially when you're talking about, you know, nation states and these kinds of things, right? But how do we continue to close the gap? And one of the areas that we've been looking at on closing that gap is how can we buy our users more time? And in so doing, we have worked with a couple of groups on coming up with a way of deploying within the network, at the edges of the network, but then at the same time, being the ability to then leverage AI in a way that allows us to see what we call these threats of that are known and both unknown. And that's because when we see an unknown threat is when, you know, our ears perk up and our alarms go off and we say, hey, is this really a threat? Is it really a legitimate access? But the characteristics look different, and we need to alert someone of what's going on. And what that has come, the culmination of all of that process over the last couple of years has really led us into this field of more proactive cybersecurity, where instead of waiting until someone sets off an attack, much like let's use the example of your home, right? You know, you go to your home, you lock your doors, you feel you're well protected. But when a burglar comes in and steals something and then leaves, the damage is already done. And by the time you wake up or by the time you get back home, the damage is done. They've stolen the information. You can now do what? You report it to the police. They gather data, et cetera. Where we sort of see ourselves is really in that, for lack of a better word, that early warning system, that Ring Central, that ADT, that's sort of keeping an eye out, not only keeping an eye out for potential threats that have not actually stolen anything as yet, but also for threats that are within your network that may not have gone off as yet. And as soon as they go off, we then are able to act. So a lot of times when you look at some of the reports like from IBM and others where they articulate that, you know, cybersecurity threats are sitting in your network from 3 to 6 months, right? So the objective here is how do we shorten that cycle? If we find these unknown threats within the network, how can we alert our folks, our partners, our customers to those threats before those threats actually become active, and then let the other tools do what those tools are destined to actually do? Does that make sense?
I think it absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does. You can see the burglar. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to clarify here. You'll be just put it into a metaphor and keep with the metaphor.
Sure.
We're able to see with proactive cybersecurity and the mechanisms you speak of, see the burglar before they're in the house. Like,
my apologies, but sort of think of it this way. Not only are we can monitor the WAN or see the burglar knocking on the door or trying to break the glass, right? But sometimes they actually get in. They get beyond your firewall, right? It unfortunately, you know, firewalls or antivirus, you know, they are really, really doing their work based on a lot of either an analysis information of historical data, or they can't necessarily stop a threat that is unknown, right? That's coming in that they're not aware of, right? And this is pretty standard at the end of the day. But on our side, what happens is that when we put several tools together, so for example, when someone is in your home walking down the hallway, they may not have necessarily stolen something as yet, but they shouldn't be there. But in order to get to the hallway, they had to have broken the glass or broken the door to get in the home. From the time that initial intrusion happens, from the time that crack happens, is when we get alerted. So they would not have, they may be in your home, and we accept the fact that in our position, which some people like or don't like, is that we assume that you've already been hacked, that there is something going on in your network, there's some nefarious activity going on in your network, and you just simply don't know about it yet. So somebody's lurking around in your kitchen, in your, you know, down your hallways, trying to find where the jewelry is located. And maybe the jewelry is located. Alert. Yeah, exactly correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly correct, right? And so our goal on the guard tower side of things is to really set off the alarms before they get to the jewelry, before, as soon as possible, thereby saving you time, leveraging your other tools and your other processes, which are fantastic, to do their job at the end of the day, whether or not that includes blocking ports, locking rooms, calling the police, you know, alerting your SIEM, whichever angle that is. So we are definitely a tool that complements what happens with the rest of the network ecosystem and becomes, you know, a way in which to get closer to that assurance of security.
That's awesome. And I like how you used you mentioned jewelry. And so the jewelry, in my opinion, and what I've seen, is your company's data. That's the crown jewel, right? That's exactly what they're going for. They don't really care about the pots and pans. They want to know where the gold and the emeralds are. And that's the whole goal here.
Right.
And yeah, so
absolutely correct. I mean, it's you know, and when you look at our architecture, sometimes our architecture frustrates people because we limit their ability to change things, much like a black box on an airplane, right? You don't go and just simply tinker with a black box on an airplane, forbid, unless something bad happens, right?
Yes.
So we've set up our architecture to be just that. And it frustrates people, right? Because everyone, you know, in this modern era, they either want, you know, the Appleization of things where you press a button and stuff just happens, right? Or you tinker with it every other day. And with our system, it is basically, no, you leave it alone, you let it run, let it do its thing at the end of the day. But, you know, so whether or not we're securing just that, you know, master bedroom with all of the jewelry and the data files that should be, or we're securing multiple bedrooms, we can even do that individually and air gap each one. So that way we're working in a sort of a consistent methodology from a protection perspective.
Right. That's pretty amazing. And everyone just wants to be able to, because, you know, when you go to these organizations, whether municipalities, federal government, mm-hmm. Of course, other businesses, a lot of these are other, like, say, professional services or they. Right. They work in maybe hardware, whatever it is, right? Construction. They're going to have IT professionals there too that often want to tinker, as you said, and or going to want to, you know, like, keep tabs. And you're saying, no. This system, this device and its processes need not anything. And
right.
Yeah.
I apologize for cutting across you, but But you're absolutely correct, right? There are some three or four basic setup environments that are needed to get it, obviously, to connect to your network and tell it where to send information and alerts, et cetera. But beyond that, it automatically becomes part of your network. It's completely agnostic from an IP perspective, right? It speaks Ethernet, obviously, from a standard standpoint. And then it starts to do its thing. It deploys all the containers. It starts to monitor things. And the interesting thing is that it's, you know, our goal is really to help our partners, you know, like Cornerstone, and not be a threat. We're not threatening the IT administration or insulting them in any way. What we're doing is saying, you know, here's sort of a lot of the errors that happen in cybersecurity happen because we are tinkering, right? Because it may be an accident, it may be somebody setting too easy of a password or whatever those things are. So we try to limit as much of the interaction with the unit itself. And the other byproduct of that is that we've also created it as an on-premises unit. And so the less we have interaction in and out of the box, the better, and the less opportunity for nefarious actors to find a way to breach even that black box that we've put within the network. Now, having said that, we have also now made it easier for the IT professional to support the customer in the sense that we provide the information proactively to them with everything they need to figure out who's doing what, where, how, why, because a big part of what we're doing is really data analytics, right? We're analyzing attack vectors and how is somebody approaching this network and why are they doing it? What are the keystrokes that they're using to enter, you know, passwords and these other things? And what that does for the IT professional is that, you know, once a breach has happened, they think that there's a breach. They're not hunting and pecking and trying to figure out and scanning the network, trying to figure out where did this happen. They get pushed that information from us. We know, hey, here's the IP address. Here's where that person is. Here's the physical address of that location. Here's what they were trying to do. Here are the passwords that they were trying to use. And maybe now those passwords are compromised. And so you need to be able to change those. So the goal here is to not just partner, but really provide them with information that then gives the IT professional a leg up on helping ensure that their networks are secure. Then they could take that information and block ports, quarantine parts of their network, and do all of the phenomenal things that the other cybersecurity platforms are able to do. So to a certain extent, you know, one of our partners sort of likened us to the CIA, right? Where we're just information gatherers and collectors, and you know, we're not supposed to, you know, barring the analogy, right? We're not supposed to be doing anything at the end of the day. But then we send that information back, and then the military, the bigger guys come in and they do their stuff at the end of the day. But without having those feelers out there, without having that proactive sensory information out there, you're really just reacting to an attack that may happen if you're looking for it or not at the end of the day.
That's pretty phenomenal. So you're streamlining and you're augmenting that IT professional. That's pretty fantastic.
Exactly.
And so, you know, the other side of cybersecurity is the necessitation of such. And that's the unfortunate part, but it also, you know, builds out the industries and brings out, you know, the necessity of the companies we see today that are dominating cybersecurity, the big names, the smaller companies, and everything in between. And of course, I'm talking about cybercrime. Keith, you and that analogy of the CIA, that makes a ton of sense because that's incredible, like rapid information that the appliance is able to just, dare I say, spew to the IT professional in the department there. With that said, correct me if I'm wrong, but is cybercrime increasing? Is it becoming more threatening? Is it costing more? Is it just kind of growing at a linear pace? Is it growing at all? Like, where is cybercrime today versus where you see as not just a professional, basically, like, you know, an expert in the industry who knows all these market trends? Or is it, you know, going down? Is it actually being controlled?
No, that's I think that's an interesting question, and one of the areas that we research and try to create, really sort of create justification behind, right, is to understand what's the impetus behind what we think is happening, growth in cybercrime, and what is really happening, right? And the reason why, what I mean by that is that, you know, the expansion of broadband, for example, right? More people being connected, more devices being connected, right? You have not just devices or humans being connected. You have now machines, your IoT devices and all these things, right? So billions of devices out there. So one would assume that merely because the sheer number of devices and digital access entities that are out there, that there is just this sort of linear or parallel kind of, you know, upward movement of cybersecurity in tandem with the number of devices that are online. And the fact of the matter is that that's not the case. Cybersecurity is growing at an exponential, cybersecurity threats are growing at an exponential rate, while broadband continues to, you know, to increase. But cybersecurity threats and breaches are happening faster and faster than the actual access themselves. And so that sort of, you know, the whole correlation and causation are obviously comes into effect. However, from our perspective, what we understand and what we're sort of seeing is that the threat of cybersecurity and the hacking and threats from whether it's nation states or corporate entities that are doing this is accelerating faster than broadband itself, faster than the tools themselves that can actually keep up with them. And it's morphing, right? It's changing, it's evolving. And AI is going to be one of the biggest drivers of that evolution as well, right? I mean, we all talk about AI, all the various versions of it, et cetera, right? And the wonderful things that it can possibly do. But there is also the dark side to that where, you know, nefarious actors are leveraging those same tools to do nefarious things. And so as fast as we develop something that can counter one thing, then that morphs to something else. And that's where the unknown element of these network environments come up, right? Where from a breach perspective, we're seeing more and more unknown elements that could potentially be in somebody's network at the end of the day. So cybercrimes are clearly escalating. The type of breaches are expanding. The size of the breaches are expanding. And this isn't just, you know, Western countries or just the U.S., but we're seeing this globally at the end of the day, right? Whether or not it's in Indonesia or Europe or Southeast Asia or even Africa and some of the other places. So it is of all about the data. And the value that now data as sort of the new resource, the new oil, for lack of a better word, has created. So stolen data now is a very, very important element in this ecosystem.
Yeah. You got the data brokers on the dark web. Yep. And it's just, yeah. And people, and now there are ads out there just for consumers even to basically fear-mongering and saying, hey, there's like a X percent 99 chance that, your data is compromised and it's being sold to data brokers. Like, we can help with that. And, you know, however credible those ads and those companies are, whatever. But it's kind of fascinating to me that broadband and the extent of that is growing at a linear rate and it's not being correlated with the threats, the cyber threats, which are growing exponentially. That's kind of crazy. So basically the degenerates and the bad guys are getting lightsabers, but now you have a lightsaber and you can equip other companies, other governments with these lightsabers. You mentioned, Keith, you know, where these threats are occurring and where the data is trying to be, you know, stolen or mined or whatever, what have you. Could you tell also where maybe most of it, is there an epicenter or multiple where these threats are coming from? If you can take the IP address and the location of the device, is there a geographic tie to any of these threats?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, we see the threats coming from across the board, you know, whether or not they are coming from, we see a lot of threats coming from China, right? Eastern Europe, some now starting to see some coming from Africa, but also locally as well, right? And one of the things I think is evident is that some of these threats are very much so organized, right? So the traditional or old ways of sort of thinking about cyber hacking is if, you know, someone is sitting down in their basement and they're, you know, they've got their hoodie on and they're knocking on the door. And that's really not the case today. A lot of these threats, and that's also, this may also play into the fact of why this is, it's growing exponentially. But you've got basically farms of people that are creating threats in the larger ecosystem at the end of the day. I mean, it's much like information and content as well, right? You can, you know, a lot of these efforts are duplicated, and AI is helping this process so that you're no longer getting just a couple thousand, you know, whatever it is, DDoS attacks, right? You're just getting flooded with threats and potential issues that you've got going on at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess to leave off on a more hopeful note, I'd say, because, yep, you know, the organization of these threats and in the fact that they're coordinated efforts, funded efforts from even nation states it's a little scary. Everyone from individuals to companies and other governments, it's scary, right? It is. But could we leave this off on a positive note in terms of facing those threats, however you kind of want to put it or wherever you want to go with it? Because I know TNI, Guard Tower, you're working really hard, and you have some really, really awesome appliances and operations to mitigate this flood of attacks, this exponential crime. So what do we have to be hopeful about as both consumers and professionals in today's modern computing environment?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a considerable amount to be hopeful about. And one of those things, it's really sort of three elements, right? One is a change in mindset about how cybersecurity is done. You know, you start to see the publications from the likes of IBM and Gartner, and, you know, even studies from big consulting houses about how do we approach this differently, because what we're doing isn't working. And so that initial, that conversation is really phenomenal to have with not just the small companies and small, you know, users, but big ones as well. And that forces people to sort of think about things differently. And that's really, really important. And you know, one of the phenomenal things in the tech industry is sort of that openness to try to do things differently when needed, right? The other thing that I think is definitely our platform actively validates that, you know, the way in which the road that we've taken on Guard Tower by TNI is having a net positive impact. And so, you know, in order to get everybody else on board, you know, we've been very fortunate enough to have penned a performance partnership with Intel on their new Xeon processors that optimize the edge AI performance of Guard Tower. We've been very fortunate to also, next month, we'll be launching on a modular Dell platform, the XR8000 series, that allows us now to go into more enterprise ecosystems and industrial, as well as smart city and edge telecommunication systems, right? So we're able to deploy now, not just in the traditional enterprise, but also now throughout the different points of the internet, and in order to, as early as possible, alert folks to potential dangers, right? Think of it as sort of stoplights or police officers through, you know, throughout your city at the end of the day. And then I think the third point is having these kinds of conversations, right? Having dedicated partners like Cornerstone and end users that we can have an open discussion about, well, you know, what are the issues? What's possible? How can we test and validate, right, an idea, right? Because, you know, all technology in our estimation is iterative, right? And so we definitely do have to, over time, evolve and make sure that we're evolving in the right direction, while at the same time getting input from our partners that are the ones doing the deployment, doing the services, understanding, you know, direct communication with the customers and understanding what those needs are. And then a lot of times, you know, us ourselves being part of those conversations. So we will always continue to request, you know, probably the most expensive thing people have is that their time, to, so that we can continue to have this communication and understand where do we fine tune. You know, in by Q4 of this year, we're coming out with a new dashboard to make it easier to see what these threats are and catalog the threats and where they're coming from. But also then create that framework to say, I need to tune my already existing cyber platform, maybe a next generation firewall or SIEM. I need to tune it to, you know, really sort of focus on these kinds of threats, because that's what I'm getting hit with, right? And that really research side of it starts to really sort of come out. So I think between those three things, I'm very, very hopeful that we are able, and we are currently closing the gap to a lot of these threats at the end of the day.
That is awesome. And I think just as the bad guys, the degenerates, the criminals are coordinated and coagulating as they do, it sounds like the good guys are doing more. And I'll quote Samwise Gamgee here: when the sun shines out, it'll shine out the clearer. That sounds awesome. I really appreciate the time today, Keith. This is awesome. I think this is a great message for not just IT directors and IT professionals, but really any professionals, people wanting to get into the space, or even just end users and other companies who are interested in better protection, more streamlined coverage and protection, and that proactive cybersecurity. Keith, thank you so much for being on today.
Always a pleasure.
And really appreciate it. Have a great one.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great one. Take care.
And